difference. One cup at a time. So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz. Tea time. Making a difference. One cup at a time. Well, welcome everybody. Miss Liz is back and we are here evening tea time. If you have not subscribed to Miss Liz's YouTube channel, run on over, ring that little doorbell and subscribe to Miss Liz and you'll get to see all these incredible tea times. As you can see, Miss Liz is wearing a tea hat tonight because I have my tea buddy in the house and Charles, and we're going to bring some real raw tea to the table. We're going to talk about some Deadwood series and a bunch of other different series that she's written. She's written over 35 books. She was on Tea Time in season 4, and we're going to sit back and have a second cup of tea. And her tea tonight is Tired, Entertained, and Availability. I got it out. My tongue was a little complicated in the bag, but we got that out. So we're going to get you to grab your tea, grab your coffee, grab a glass of wine. You do not have to drink tea to enjoy Miss Liz's Tea Times tonight. And if you have a tea hat or a ball cap or anything, put it on. Enjoy. Let's play. Let's have some fun tonight. So let's get started with disclaimer and bio, and then we're going to get Ann in here, and we're going to spill some tea together, and we're going to make some new memories. Disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time Live Show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forth for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forth dialogues and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the giving time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussions. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutic advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in tonight's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and will see you at a later date, at a later show in the future. So again, tea times are all done at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Morning shows have been cut this year. So if you're looking for a morning show, run on over to the YouTube channel and check out those morning shows. Now, a little bit about Anne. Anne was on season 4 and I had a blast with her because we had a lot of giggles and we had some fun and I got to play. I got to wear my hats and maybe I should be starting to wear my hats a little bit more. Maybe Anne will get me into this pattern and I'll wear a different hat every tea time. So a little bit on Anne. Anne Charles is a USA Today best-selling author who writes spicy award-winning mysteries full of mayhem, adventure, comedy, and suspense. She writes the Deadwood Mystery Series, Jack Rabbit Junction Mystery Series, Dig Site Mystery Series, Deadwood Undertaker Series with her husband Sam Lucky, and AC Silly Circus Mystery Series. Her Deadwood Mystery Series has won multiple national awards, including the Daphne Du Maurier for excellence in mystery and suspense. Anne has a BA in English and with an emphasis on creative writing from the University of Washington and a member of Sisters in Crime and Western Writers of America. She is currently towing away on her next book, wishing she was on a Mexican beach with an ice cold Corona in one hand and a book in the other. When she is not dabbing in fiction, she is arm wrestling with her two kids, attempting to seduce her husband and arguing with her sassy cats. So let me get Anne in here so we can spill some tea with all you guys out there. There she is.
Hi.
Hi, Anne. I really, really love that hat. Like, I, you know, you get me into the playful mood with these hats. So Anne, for anybody who hasn't seen your first tea time, let's take you back a little bit. And then we're going to jump into since you've been on Tea Time the last time.
Okay.
So who was Anne? Who was Anne as a little girl?
Oh boy, that's so long ago. It always, you know, I was the youngest in my group of siblings by like 4.5 years. So I was often kind of on my own trying to entertain myself, either reading. I love to read, you know, I lived on a farm. So going out and exploring, you know, and seeing what was out there, having fun out back, you know, in the fields and stuff like this, coming up with adventures. And this was in Northwest Ohio. So, you know, it was a very farming area. I'd go down by the creek and play down there and just hang out. You know, it sounds like I'm describing like a Tom Sawyer or something like that.
You know what, Anne? I could actually see you like that.
I grew up on this wonderful farm. And in fact, my dad, he had a used farm machinery yard that he started when I was really young. And so by the time I was in my, you know, 10, 11 age grad, he had quite a few things in, you know, I call it a junkyard, back behind our farm and stuff. And so it was so cool to play on. He would get old school buses, old fire engines, all kinds of stuff like that. And to go back there and just hang out with the dogs that would follow me and just, you know, play on all those machines and pretend I was, you know, driving a bus or, you know, doing something like that. So I, you know, I was supposed to be working and helping a lot more on the farm, but my dad was pretty nice because I would say I'm taking care of the dogs. I'm keeping the dogs busy, you know, and take them with me. But I did get in trouble for reading too much often because I'd go up in my room and hide and read, especially in my teen years. That was, I guess, the equivalent nowadays of, you know, YouTube or something like that for young adults. I was reading everything I could, you know, get a bunch of books from the library and read. I didn't know I was going to be a writer at that time. I just loved to escape into story, you know, and have fun that way. And that was back, not to age myself, but when, you know, you got 3 to 4 channels on your TV and you had to get up to change them. So there really wasn't, I mean, I lived, like I said, in Northwest Ohio. A lot of my youth also spent time in Deadwood, South Dakota. But when I was at home in Ohio, we lived close to the, you know, kind of close to Canada. So an exciting thing would be when our antenna would pick up Canadian hockey. Woo! You know, we're getting foreign,
so who was your foreign
stuff
team
on here. It's exciting. What was that?
Who was your favorite hockey team?
All I got to see was, I think it was... it must have been like, well, up from Detroit, north of there. What's north up there in Canada? Montreal's over to the side more. So it was whatever we could just pick up from right across the river up there in Michigan, you know, that splits Detroit from Canada. Whatever we could pick up with our big old antenna sticking up in the sky. But it was so exciting because it was Canadian TV. And that was so exotic for me to watch this hockey. Again, I'm really dating myself here, telling you how old I am, but this was, you know, MTV got started in my teen years, so we didn't quite have that yet. And we were in the boonies in Ohio, so we didn't have cable for a long time either there.
So when growing up, and did you have that big round antenna that was like in the back of the house?
We actually had the one that stuck way up high, you know, and then the lightning would come through and every now and then hit it. We just had the old big old, you know, it was like a square going up. That was all we had back then when I was younger. And like I said, I'd flick through all the different channels, click, 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 trying to see if we could pick up what's going on up in Canada today. Ooh, exciting. I know you're up in Canada, so you're probably like, well, this is what was going on up here. But it was,
yeah, so... we had a lot of hockey in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever wonder, like, our TVs back then, we're going to give our ages away here pretty soon, but they had all these channels that you could click, 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 but only 3 would work.
Exactly. Snow, snow, snow. Oh, wait, I can kind of see things moving through the snow. What is that? You know, as I got in my teen years, or early teen, I think we got a thing that would turn our antenna, you know, a little bit so that we can hone in a little bit more, but still, there was no cable throughout, even till I graduated, not out in the country. You know, that was something the in-town kids got to have, was cable, which was, I was envious of, you know, all the stuff they got to watch.
Yeah. I know the first time I stayed at a friend's house and they had all these extra channels. I was like, how come we don't have these on our channels? And we had these big antenna rabbit ears that were on top of the big TV.
Yeah.
And the SOS or the Steel Wool would be at the end. And if you played with that, and you could get another channel. Exactly. You're lucky, right?
Yeah. Yes, I know. Yeah. You tell your kids this and they're like, what are you even talking about? That's insane.
Right? Like, you guys are a bunch of aliens. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that was,
well, it's just like phones, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was just trying to explain to my daughter the other day how frustrating it was on a dial phone if you had to do a long distance number and there were a lot of nines in it. That you had to go all the way around. And if you screwed that number up toward the end, and then you had to hang up the phone and wait, like count to 5 seconds or 10 and then try again, how frustrating it was that, you know, oh, I got to start all over. It's going to take me forever to dial this number. She was like, that's just, I can't even relate. Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
The tin foil. Yeah, we use that too, the tin foil. Yep. You know, but when we tell our children these stories, they're like, where do you guys think you came from? Like, you know, they think we're a bunch of little aliens or something.
I know.
We had to do that, right? And like video games was a dot that we swung back and forth with our party. Like,
I know. Oh, boy. Yep.
So, and you mentioned the junkyard, playing in the junkyard. Is that where the imagination came from? Was driving that bus and that? Because I remember junkyards too. We used to play in the cars and pretend we were race car drivers and you know, learning how to drive. That's where we thought we got our license, was in the junkyard. Like,
yep. I think it really, that combined with, like I said, I was young enough from my next sibling up that I had a lot more time on my hands to fill. My other siblings were like 2 years apart plus some step family that was a year apart from them. So they were all grouped together more. And me and one stepbrother kind of trailed at the end, but then he was at his mom's a lot. So I was, you know, it was different places and I was alone a lot and sometimes by choice. I loved to hang out with our dogs. We usually had 3 to 4, you know, farm dogs that would be running loose with me. And we'd go down and just, you know, times I think, well, maybe that was lonely, but no, it really fueled my imagination. It gave me time alone to create worlds. I can remember, so we had a Ryder lawnmower and our yard was so big that it would take me 3.5 hours with a riding lawnmower. That's wow. How big our yards were in Northwest Ohio. And I would make up songs and sing them while I feel sorry for anybody that was within hearing distance because I'm a horrible singer, but I would just make up songs and sing them while I wrote them, you know. And sometimes as I got older in my teen years and I was romantic, I would just daydream about these romances in my head. I'd make up kind of teeny romances, you know, and sing songs about them that I'd make up. I don't know. There's a lot of empty time to fill in Northwest Ohio sometimes. When you're a farmer's kid, if you drive the tractor or the combine, you know, you try to pay attention, like your dad said, to the line, the rows, but there's time for your brain to kind of meander and come up with some crazy, crazy ideas. So that on top of my older brother who does my cover art and illustrations, he was always into monsters. He's 4.5 years older than me. Mr. Kunkel, and he would tell me monster stories a lot of times. So I'd be scared at night to go out and do chores because I was afraid of the vampires that he said lived behind the barn. You know, things like that just fueled my imagination too. So you put all that together and I think it spurs a lot of, you know, daydreaming and stories.
Absolutely. I'm just going to put this comment up by Joanne because I think it's pretty cool. I was born in the middle of the last century. Now, how does that sound?
I know. Isn't that horrible when they say, you know, 20 years ago and you're thinking the 90s and it's like, no, 20 years ago was 2000s or, you know, 50 years ago was the 70s. Oh, my gosh. That's right? Just crazy. But yeah, time marches on, man.
It does. So, Anne, how old were you when you wrote your first book?
Let me think about that. It was in 96 and I hand wrote it. So doing the math, I was 25.
Oh, wow.
So, but that was horrible. But I wrote it all with the pen and paper front to, you know, beginning to end. It was a romance. And it had a hockey player. Speaking of hockey, he was the hero. I know, right? So, yeah, I wrote this. It was a shorter romance, like probably 60, 70,000 words. And it was utterly horrible. But I still did it. And I typed up the, you know, what I needed to submit it to Harlequin. And I did. I sent it off. And they so kindly rejected me and said, keep writing. We think you show potential. Looking back, I'm sure that was a form letter. But I believed them. So I kept going.
And you have like over 35 books out there, correct?
I do believe so, yes. I haven't counted lately, but I think we put out 36 last year. We, as in me and Anne and my husband, I guess there's a group of us in in my head partly, but my husband is of course part of this business, you know, helping with formatting and a lot of parts of the, you know, behind the scenes work. So I think the Deadwood number 13, which was Time Reaping, was book 36, story 36. I'd have to count, but I'm pretty sure I'm there.
Wow. That's a lot of writing for somebody who said, you know, you have a little bit of potential. You showed them, look at, I got 36 books out there.
I know. And I wish I wrote shorter stories. My stories tend to be about 110 to 130,000 words, which are these meatier books. And I would love to write 60K books because I could do more. I could put more out quicker for everybody, you know, but I've got this storyteller, and if I say, let's cut it at 60, she'll be like, no, I'm still going here. I'm not quite done. And, you know, at 75 to 80, I'm like, can we cut it soon? And she'll be like, no, I think we've got a few more things to tell. So by 115, I'm like, somebody's got to shut you up, lady, because we are running out of space. It's enough. We need to move on to the next book. So, yeah, I try to write shorter. Yeah, my brain just is, it's got a story to tell. And so I have to let her get her long-winded version out.
So, Anne, is Deadwood the first series?
It's the first series that I published. I actually wrote the first book in the Dig Site Mystery series came before everything else. And it is now called Look What the Wind Blew In. But when I wrote it, I think it was Welcome to the Jungle was the title I had for it. And then my critique group really hated the hero that I had written for that story. I mean, really hated him. And so much that they banned me from ever using that character name again in any book, anywhere, ever. So to stay with them in the group, you know, I had to say, okay, I'll get rid of that name. And it's sadly, it was my grandfather's name and I was trying to honor him, but in the end I had just destroyed his name.
You're like, oops, sorry, grandpa.
I know, right? I'm so sorry. I did such a bad. So then I rewrote that and switched the hero and did a better job. They liked this one better. But then it wasn't quite it. So then I wrote the first Jackrabbit Junction mystery, Dance of the Winnebagoes. And I wrote that one and I was able to get an agent way back when you wanted an agent. And I wrote the second one and she started shopping, but you know, those books around, but I was really having trouble because there was such a mix of mystery and adventure and action and romance that was back when publishers wanted you to pick a team. Are you going to write a romance? Are you going to write a mystery or action adventure? Please pick something. We need to put this on a shelf somewhere and you're mixing all this up. And so I was like, I can't. I don't. This is what keeps coming out of my head. So I wrote the first Deadwood, Nearly Departed in Deadwood. And finally, you know, I tried first person instead of third. And it really clicked. And we were, you know, back then I was still with an agent and we got a lot of interest in that one. And actually went through the hoops of trying to, you know, getting in with one of the bigger publishers. But the marketing department came through and said, we don't think this book will sell well enough. It's set in the Midwest. It's not on the coast. It's not in a big city. It's in a small town. So we're going to pass. And the editors were bummed, and I was so bummed. But thankfully, that was about the time that Indie, Amazon, you know, all that was starting to work together, and people were self-publishing and or forming small presses, which is what I did, and went forth, and it got a lot of attention. I mean, it just boom out of the, you know, gate. It was wonderful. So yeah, now, like I said, that's 13 behind me on the table, time reaping, and it's still ongoing. Because like I said, the storyteller in me has a lot to say. So it's a series. And I had finished, it's like, for example, on the first Jackrabbit, Dance of the Winnebagoes, I wrote that before the Deadwood series, and I finished the first one and I sent it to my agent. She said, "This is great. Where's book two?" And I said, "What do you mean book two? This is a one book thing." She goes, "No, this is a series. You don't even realize it yet, do you?" I was like, "I guess not." And now I'm working on book seven of that series. So yeah, just so keeps going.
How do you separate them from all the different series? Because you have like five different series here. So how do you know what character goes with what story?
You know, it really, it'll take me a little bit. I'll reread the series in between. When I finish one and I'm going to switch series, I reread the other series to get my head back in that game and get the characters. There are times when I will switch to the Deadwood series, let's say, from the Jackrabbit, and I'll write in third person for a little bit and then go, wait, no. This is where we're only in Violet's head. So it's I, you know, and the same in reverse. I'll switch off Deadwood to something else and I'll use first person. And it's like, no, wait, we got to jump out and shift gears a little bit. But I think shifting gears like that is what I love about this, because it allows me to keep these characters, you know, and just set them in the green room, wait till the next book, you know, wait, we just did all this, but it allows me to keep, you know, in touch with all the characters, keep their stories going, because I love them all so much. I don't want to say goodbye. You know, it's fun. And then having them cross over into the, you know, all the series have crossovers, which is so much fun too. It's like cameo appearances, and I love that.
So we have a question here for you, Anne. What's the difference between first person and third person?
So first person is when you're reading the story, it would sound like, if it was me, you know, Anne's the heroine, it'd be like, today I was on Miss Liz's tea times and she wore a red hat and I wore purple and I liked her red hat a lot. So now I'll probably start looking for that hat, you know, and that's kind of how it would sound. Whereas third person, it was today Anne was on Miss Liz's tea time and Anne adored her hat and couldn't wait to find one of her own. So it's, you know, in point of view, you're kind of stepping back a little bit with that third person. It doesn't mean it can't be really impactful. It's just a different way of telling the story. Higher point of view level, not so in deep, that first person makes you feel like you're, when you're reading first person, you are that character a lot of times, if it's done well. You know, you're right there with them. When it's third person, it's like you're watching them on a stage do their play.
Oh, so almost like a narrator.
Yeah. Yes. And then the narrator would be another omniscient, I think they call that, where the narrator comes in and says, and today Anne was on, you know, Miss Liz's tea time. And she was telling about her life as a child playing in the creek. And some people would say crick and she said creek. So there's a big debate now on who was right, Anne or the other people. So that's my narrator voice, I guess, today.
And just took us down the creek.
Exactly. Oh, boy. The things you bring out in me, it's so wonderful.
Right? Well, I'm going to bring out your tea now, because you gave me the words tired, entertain, and availability. Now, those are three strong words, and I want to know why you gave me those words.
Well, tired is... For the last year, and I don't want to go into it because it's too emotional, but I have had, my parents are of the age where they're starting to have issues. And I've spent so much time in ICU or, you know, with a parent that they might die tomorrow. You might need to get down here, you know, and see them, that it just, I feel tired and I'm worn out. And the storyteller in me is struggling because it's hard to write humor when you're dealing with so much emotion and seriousness, yeah, and grieving. So, you know, when I looked at those three letters, the first thing when I saw the T is like, I'm tired. And so many of us authors hit this, where whether it's outside life coming in, whether it's we've pumped out 3 or 4 or 5 books in a year and, you know, readers are clamoring for more. And we just feel like I'm drained. I feel like I'm tired and I need to rest and give my brain a little bit of a break and let life, you know, whatever else I'm dealing with kind of fizzle through or fizzle out and build up my creativity well again. So I've heard that, especially in the last 10 years, because it seemed like, you know, with ebooks and indie publishing, authors are really cranking out books. And some of them are just amazing that they can do that. And I think, wow, you are an incredible machine that you can crank out all these great stories. And others of us are trying to get 3 books out a year and cheer. We did 3 books. That's hard, you know, and some are hitting burnout and just tired and need a break. And on top of that, as you know, is the marketing. We're not just writing stories. Wonderful things like Facebook, but more Instagram and TikTok. They require even more creativity to interact. We need to come up with fun little videos and stuff like that. And it's really hard, especially if you're an introvert. Like, I mean, I'm not a total introvert, but I am pretty introverted. I really like to be left alone to read and watch movies and write books. It takes a lot of energy for me to go out and to do book signings and whatnot. And it takes a lot of energy for me to be creatively funny, visibly, on purpose. I mean, talking to you right now, I can just talk to you. We can laugh and I can say stupid stuff and tell how old I am and all that. And I just like, I don't care. But if you want me to write a script and come up with something funny, I'm like, my name is Anne and I am a funny person. Look at me. Ha ha ha.
You just turned into the Anne AI. I
know. Exactly. It's so hard for me. And I'm so envious of those authors who just, they get in front of a camera and they're like, da 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 da, singing dances, you know, singing songs, doing dances, all that good stuff. Because I'm like crickets, you know. Yes. So I'm tired, but I still love this job. I shouldn't say it's a job. I love this opportunity. I love that I can tell stories. I love that I can share things. And these wonderful things that I hope make people laugh and make their day better. And that's what I still want to do. But there are days when, you know, I'm just exhausted and I know I'm not alone. Yeah. A lot of authors feel this way and we're trying so hard. I was just reading, a friend on Facebook commented, and I won't give her name, but she had said that she got an email regarding her newsletter that they had unsubscribed because she wasn't putting out books fast enough. So they moved on to other authors that could. And she's like, I do 3 to 4 books a year, but I do long books, you know, it's hard. And why the, you know, I understand reading other people's books, you should, but you know, we can do what we can do with our brain. Unfortunately, fortunately, I should say, not unfortunately, I have 2 wonderful children and a husband that I love and 4 cats that demand time too. So, you know, I think it's important that we live life because that's what we bring to story. What I've just gone through the last year with my parents is a wealth of creative gold, not to say I'm going to, you know, use it for money, but it really refills the creative side of you because you experience so much, whether it's grief or sadness and laughter in the midst of it, that reminds you how you laugh in the thick of grief and you laugh when you're scared. And it's just wonderful, but you have to take time out to live the life to get that.
Well, and we don't talk about that enough, right? The burnouts, like, you know, everybody's just go, 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 where we just got to slow down, have some tea, take a moment for ourselves, right? And you talked about this when you were on the last time, was, you know, that it's just, they just demand, like, I want more, I want more, I want more. But until you can build up that storyline, you're just like on a pause. You're just like, let me figure it out. Like,
Right. I want to deliver high quality, really good stuff, that because as you keep going in a series and you get to the next book, for example, you know, book 14 on the Deadwind Mystery series, I can't bomb. I need to make it at least as good as the last book. Because if you're binging these, you need to be able to read, you know, and keep going. And I need to keep pulling you along and making you want to keep reading. And that takes a lot of times I use different themes. And so I start thinking about the theme and I study that, you know, kind of thing and what I'm aiming for with the story, because I want to deliver the best story that I can to you as the reader, so you still have fun with me. And I'm not saying that others don't. I think other writers are just faster than me a lot of times, but it takes brain power to be able to do that. It takes life filling my buckets full of happiness and joy and love and all that good stuff, as well as, you know, some of the not so good stuff, in order for me to put that on the page and bring those characters to life every time.
Well, Anne, and you don't just have the one series, you have multiple series. So, you know, it's jumping in between all the different characters and storylines and separating them, because do you work like on one book at a time, or do you work like, oh, I know a little bit about Deadwood, then I'm going to go into Jackrabbit. Do you bounce?
I wish I could bounce. I know so many authors that they like write two or three books at a time, and I'm in awe. I'm just like, how do you do that? I am a Virgo. I am focused on one thing at a time often. I can brainstorm one book, like I brainstorm with my husband on the Undertaker series that he's writing while I'm working on a different book, and I can brainstorm. But even that, a lot of times will shut me down on writing for the day on the other book, because my brain went totally over there and I grind gears when I shift between. I wish I didn't, but I really am the kind of person that starts a project and I take it clear through to the end. And then I can move on to the next. And I've tried to do multiples at once, and my brain doesn't work that way. So, it's another thing I'm envious of other authors who seem to be able to have multiple projects at once and do online, you know, whatever marketing. I'm just like, I need a clone. I can't be like you. I just, you know, I'm limited on how much I can do. And I always like to try to do the best I can with what I'm working on. So I want to be able to give it that full attention.
Yeah, we have a comment here. I'm just going to read it from the studio. It says, I don't understand how people do not realize how much work you do. Writing is working. I am so amazed how many books you do write, and they are so clean and well done. And that's from Joanne.
Thank you, Joanne. You're awesome. I love Joanne. She's a wonderful, she's been reading a long time. Joanne, how long has it been since the beginning? Did you start back in 2011? Because I know you've been here so long, I've forgotten. You've been here with me so long. I think because some authors move quicker and sometimes their books are a little shorter, and they have really aggressive release schedules, like one book a month or one book every month and a half to 2 months, that a lot of readers get used to that, that's kind of a norm. And it is for certain people, but unfortunately we're not all the same. And that's right. I know, she's been there. She's awesome. Joanne's wonderful. So I'm not trying to be whiny or complainy or anything like that. And I don't even think complainy is a word, but it's hard. And creating good, funny stories, especially humor for me, is not like, you know, I just sit down and outpours this funny stuff. I have to get myself mentally into the state of, we're going to deliver, you know, and have fun and joke around. And if my heartstrings are being pulled in another way, if I'm sad because what's going on in my day life, it's really hard to write something funny. And I just experienced that. I just was trying to write a few paragraphs yesterday, and I looked at them and I was like, this is garbage. It's snarky. It's not funny. It's boring. And just deleted it all and thought, okay, I'm walking away and I'm going to go play the farming game with my daughter on her Xbox. And I'm going to pick some pumpkins and eggplants and maybe, you know, give some happy faces to the ducks and the chickens and the cows and the goats. That's what I'll do. But it's a way of coming down for me, you know, and just, I have control of that. And as I work back up to getting that creativity going, sometimes it takes a little extra, you know, I think of it as, you know, the engine's going, you know, and just, I got to figure out.
Well, it's
out
like
how
the tractor, right? You're cutting that grass. Like it takes 3.5 hours. So it does get draining. It gets tiring.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know? But I do feel like, I'm getting there. The last year's been tough. I did put a book out. That was a lot of work to do, but I did it. And I showed myself that in spite of all this, you can still write funny stuff. And it was very well received. So just keep going and keep trying and we'll get it back. You know, the funny, you know, Anne that I'm looking for and the humorous lines, they'll come back. I just have to get some stuff going and get the train moving again and we'll go forth.
Well, you just got to find that mojo, right?
Right. Exactly. So let's. Long ago, I tried writing drunk thinking, hey, maybe this will work.
Oh my gosh. I could picture you doing that, Anne, for some reason.
It was for a college assignment and it was horrible. Oh boy, it was so bad. And I didn't do well on that assignment. And I was like, well, guess I won't be one of those drunk writers. So I'm going to have to stay sober when I write. Dang it.
I could just picture you doing that. No,
gotta give it a try.
There's the entertainment, right? Like you gave me eat and for your, you gave me entertained. There's the entertained.
There you go. Yeah. Yep.
So Anne, for the word entertain, it has to do with a lot of marketing and stuff as well. Like the entertainment, these interviews, these podcasts, the flyers, the marketing, the book signing, it's draining, it's tiring, but it's also entertaining because we have to always be creative, right? We always have to have that next door open.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more about this entertain.
Well, you know, and part of that comes from my goal always with telling these stories is to entertain. I'm not out there to do I can't think of the lady that tells you to clean your house and get rid of stuff and it'll clear your mind. That's not me. I'm just here to give you some brain cotton candy to, you know, enjoy. And if life is knocking you around, or even if life is good, just give you something entertaining to read and laugh, you know, along with. So entertainment is key. And entertainment when I'm with you, when I'm doing book signings, I want you to want to come. I don't want to go. I don't want you to think, gosh, I'd like to go see Anne, but whenever I go see her, she's a sad sack that drains all my energy and leaves me wanting to cry. That's the last thing I want you to feel like when you come see me. Or if I'm on like a podcast, I want you to see me and go, oh yeah, Anne was on and she was laughing at her silly mistakes and having a good time. And so I had a good time. So to me, the whole reason I got into this writing and publishing was to entertain people. I would love to say it was because I wanted to, you know, write these amazing stories that would change your life forever. But really, I just want you, I wanted what I always like. I like books that make me smile and laugh and walk away feeling uplifted. And, you know, joy is in my life. Even if it's just from the book, it gives me a, you know, a little oomph of go out there and face life again. And that's kind of my goal. So I want to entertain you. And I have felt that way strongly since the beginning, that is my job.
Well, you know, it is a hard life. You know, as a writer, people think, oh, it's just paper and pen or just typing on. There is a lot that goes behind the scenes of a writer. So I want to get into the writer, the availability. I'm going to have trouble with this word. And
I did that on purpose, just so that, you know, I'd make
it's a like having tongue twister, right? Like,
exactly.
Say that five times.
Yeah. So I chose availability because I think that's very important these days as an entertainer. And we see that all over the place. Social media has made that even more so. When we were kids, the whole idea of going and having any contact with, you know, an author that you love was such a crazy thing. Maybe you'd get to go to a book signing if they came to your area. But nowadays with social media, we're here. We're available. You just type a message to us. And, you know, as soon as we can, we try to get back, most of us at least. So I think it's important both in my writing life, in my marketing life, that I'm available, but also I have children. They're in their teens now, and I want to be available to them as well, and available to my family and my husband, so that I'm not always, you know, always working, always gone, always somewhere else, you know, being, here's Ann Charles, woo, you know, I'm with them, I'm available to them as well. So both private life and public life, career is, you know, it's important to figure out the balance, but be available to the readers who want to reach out to you and tell you wonderful things. I get some emails about, you know, you brought me up when I was feeling down about this, or I'd read your book to my mom or aunt when she was in the hospital and it made her laugh, stuff like that. You want to be available so that you can thank them and reply and talk to them and make them feel like the time they took to reach out to you is a valuable commodity. It wasn't just, oh, whatever, whoever you are. No, let me write back to you and tell you how much I appreciate your kindness in writing and that you read the stories. So that's my availability. And it wasn't just to make your tongue twist up, but that does make me smile.
Tongue twisters. Maybe I'll do a tea time on tongue twisters. My tongue sometimes, it doesn't want to move right.
Yes.
I want to turn it a little bit on the lighter side. I want to turn it to the sassy cats. Let's talk about these cats.
My gosh, I have a cat thing. For example, when I just made a quick trip up through winter weather up to South Dakota for a week, my husband wasn't going with me. I took my son with me, and my husband put in the back a big tub full of kitty litter. Now, anyone that deals with ice and snow knows why you put kitty litter in your vehicle, because if you go off, you know, it helps you get traction. So we had this huge tub of kitty litter in the back of the pickup that I was driving up there. And we did hit a snowstorm. Luckily, we were already at our destination for a few days, so the snowstorm came and went. But I told my son, you know, your dad put that big thing of kitty litter in the back end. And he's like, yep. And I said, to me, that means if we come across a cat or a kitten somewhere, we're supposed to get it. That's why he packed kitty litter. I told my husband that. And he's like, we have four. That is enough. And I was like, you're the one who gave me kitty litter. So
you kind of gave me the okay to exactly. Do it.
Yeah, I need to find a cat to use this huge litter box in the back of the truck. I have these, I have a cat thing. I don't know if four cats make you a full-on cat lady yet or not. And to be fair, one of the cats is really my daughter's cat. She only puts up with me because
get another cat, Anne.
I know, right? I'm always on the lookout. We like to get cats when we travel because, you know, especially if we get a younger cat, a lot of people when we travel seem to have masses of kittens all over. And so we scoop one up because you travel home with them on the road and you spend 3 to 4 days with a cat in a vehicle. You bond really well with that cat. So they form this, by the time, you know, a day out, they form this bond with you already and you become a pack. And so when we get them home, that cat has so much more confidence coming into our house with the other cats who have already bonded with the humans and are used to multiple cats. So it just makes the introduction, I think, even better. So that's why I have four, and that's why I'm going to continue to have maybe four or five. And I'm sticking to that I need to continue to collect cats as needed. But they're so fun. I mean, I know a lot of people don't think cats have the personality that dogs do, and dogs are a blast. I love dogs. We just travel a little too much, and I don't want to carry a dog with me. And I don't. Kids are hard enough. I got to take care of kids and a dog. That's like I'm stressed out now. But cats, we can leave, especially since we have a few, so that they interact. They're not lonely. They hang out together. We have a wonderful neighbor girl that has always watched our cats and hung out with them. So I just love how they each are so different and they give such attitudes sometimes. And yet there's one of them that she just worships, it seems like, whatever we do. And she just loves us so much. And she just wants to be with us all the time. And it's just like, you're kind of a dog cat, you know? I don't know if you realize that, but you're really supposed to be a little more standoffish like the other guys, but you're all over me. So, okay, we'll take, you know. So it's fun. I just adore having cats around. And thankfully, I'm not allergic, so it doesn't, you know, cause any problems.
Well, and I wanted to jump into the cats because I want to know, any of the cats give you some characters for any of your series?
Some of the things the cats do. I have one cat. It's our boy cat, Loiki. And when I do work in the yard, so I live in Arizona. And while we're up in the mountains, we do still have scorpions and some not nice bugs. And in the summer, I'll be out weeding in the around something, you know, I'm kind of a little nervous because there's a big hole there in the ground and that makes me nervous, but I'm trying to weed around it, let's say. And Loki has this personality that he will hide in the bushes and jump out at me, right? It seems like right when I'm the most nervous, and do the cat in the movie, you know, scary movie, jump at me. And one time he did it, there was a big hole and I was really nervous thinking, what is in that? Is that a snake? And I was kind of getting some weeds and he jumped out right when I was reaching toward that hole, right from behind the hole, threw a bush at me. I screamed so loud. I stopped and I looked around and I was like, oh my God, if any neighbors heard that, they're probably going to call the cops. Cause that was a woman in a horror movie scream right there. So, we have quite the characters with some of these cats. And Loki was supposed to be a girl. When we got him, the guy was standing there we were getting him from. So we were a little nervous, all of us. And we quickly looked. And he was, you know, a kitten. And we thought, oh, it looks like a girl. And we all know what a girl and a boy cat, the difference is. We're not stupid. But the guy was just standing there hovering over us. So we quickly looked. And I swear, Loki tucked up in. I'm not going to say what part. But I swear he tucked him up because he wanted to go with us. So we get driving down the road and we stop at a Walmart to go in and get a makeshift litter box because we're still a day or two from home. And I go in Walmart with my daughter. My husband texts me, took a closer look at this cat. And it turns out it's not a she after all. So we were like, then it's a Loki because he fooled us into taking us. He's the trickster. And so we were worried because we had girl cats and we didn't know if bringing a boy cat in would cause a ruckus. But it turns out he's a wonderful addition and he watches out for the ladies now. You know, he takes care of them, especially when they're outside. He monitors them. But yeah, we still joke about him faking us out that way, hiding it. When we lifted him up to look, he tucked up everything in and said, oh, I'm a girl.
Well, that's how he fits in with the girls, right? He tucks them up.
Exactly. Oh, he's such a funny cat.
And that's what I mean. Like, we get stories from our pets, right? That are right in front of us sometimes. And we're just like, oh, let me see what I can come up with.
Yes, they are so fun. Cats, kids, and the things the kids will say to you. And you're like, did you really say that? How old are you again? Shouldn't you know that by now? You know, it just different stuff like that. It makes such wonderful additions to stories, especially if you write any kind of humor. So many of us can relate to having cats, dogs, kids, pets, that it just, it makes, to me, if I can relate to a character in a story, someone else's books, and I can kind of say, oh yeah, I do that too. It makes the story so much more fun because I feel like I know this person. I could be best friends with them or, you know, stalk them at least, right? So I can hang out with them. And it makes you, you know, really want to be part of that story even more.
Absolutely. You know, and stalk. As soon as you said the word stalk, I'm thinking of this cat stalking. Like,
yes. I do pictures on Instagram, and I'll do a calendar every year. And people, the readers are awesome. They vote on which pictures they liked throughout the year. And then we do a calendar for the next year. And I have so many pictures now that I don't even share that have Loki in them, because he'll see where I'm taking a picture and I'm like, you know, and he comes right there and he'll do a regal stand or he'll jump, he'll do something. And I'm like, get out of the camera.
He's photobombing everything.
He does. He photobombs left and right. It's so funny.
I was just about to mention the calendars, because you have calendars, you have puzzles, you have quizzes on your site. You also have mugs, merchandise. You have all of that fun stuff. So you want to tell me a little bit about that, Anne?
Well, I started out just wanted to be an author when I started trying to write. But I, to be honest, I have an ex, and he's a nice guy, and he used to want to be a photographer. And so in my previous life with him, I would travel all the time. We would go places. And that was back when you were using slides or, you know, actual film. And he would have me go, hey, go over here and check out the lighting and see if you can find a couple shots that have good composition. So I learned early from him and studying photographs with him that we liked, what makes up a good photo for me, in my opinion. You know, photography is very much like books. You like some kinds, you like other, you know, other people like others. But I learned what I like is, you know, composition wise in a photo. And so I would always take these pictures and try to, after we divorced and I'd moved on, I married my husband, Sam, and I would take all these pictures and share them with my relatives. And my niece, Karina, she said, hey, you need to get on Instagram and post these pictures and start sharing them with your readers. And I was like, what's Instagram? I mean, that was way back then. And she was like, let me hook this up on your phone. And she did. And she got me set up. And she's like, now just take pictures and share them here. And you can, you know, do this. And so we had started our move down south to Arizona from Washington. And so I took pictures along the way and I started sharing them. And it just seemed like a lot of people liked them. It was a hit. And so we started traveling with Anne, quote unquote, calendars every year. And I would just, every time we take trips, things that I thought were really cool pictures, I would take pictures of, you know, and share them with everybody. Thank you, Joanne. Joanne's been voting on those calendars for years. So it's so much fun, because then I, you know, I do a bunch of them and I share them on Instagram. And now people will go, that needs to go for the calendar vote, you know? And so then at the end of the year in November, I gather them all together, put them on my website. I pick like 24 of them. And then I say, okay, everybody go vote. And we get lots and lots of votes. And then you only get to vote for one, maybe two. I make it hard for you. You can't pick a bunch. And then we pick the winners and we give away a few calendars to those who voted. And then we sell the calendars. I'm not trying to make a ton of cash off these. I just try to, you know, make enough to cover shipping and whatnot. And it allows me the joy of getting to take photographs and sharing that, as well as writing books. And so, yeah, all that early photography work with my ex really paid off.
So do you turn the pictures also into puzzles, Anne?
I do. Well, I do, but also more than me, my sister-in-law is my assistant, and she does a lot of that, where she takes my photos, she'll take book covers, she'll take all kinds of stuff and build really fun, you know, promo stuff. And I can't think of what they call it, but like Zazzle.com and other places where you can buy things that have, you know, whether it's my photographs, you can actually buy those if you liked them so much and you want to put them on your wall. You know, you can buy, make them puzzles, you can do whatever. So it's a way of taking those photos people loved and letting them, you know, have more access to them.
So before we wrap up, and I want to get into the covers of your books, because your books are, the covers are amazing. So do you have the same illustrator each time for each book?
That's my brother, C.S. Kunkel. He's the one that drew monsters and scared me a lot as a kid. He is the cover artist as well as the illustrator for most all the books. He will send us, he actually does a lot of times, sometimes he does them as one, sometimes he does them as pieces, like the body of the character will be in pieces and then the background will be separate, because with a book cover, you have to kind of move stuff around to fit words in. So then my husband now is our graphic artist. So he'll scan the original art And then he will work with it, do all the stuff that makes it kind of pop out even more. My brother uses usually colored pencils, I believe. So it takes sometimes to use a graphic because it's the difference between a 2D, you know, or I don't know if it's 2D or 3D, but a piece of art physical in your hand versus something backlit like how it is on a, you know, on the computer screen. So he'll work with it and then do the wording and do all the layout for the covers. My husband will do that too. So it's really a group project, everyone, but my brother's art is incredible. And I'm so lucky to have him as part of the team and doing, you know, all these cool art things, because it's like they're each of them are little pictures, little actual pieces of art that you get to see, you know, and it's not stock, it's actual, you know, someone taking it and drawing it, which is I draw stick figures. He came out before me out of the womb and he stole all that ability. And I still say, you could have left a little bit for me. I mean, I draw, if I were to draw like the cover back there for that one, the backside of Hades, I did. It's little stick guy standing there and a little stick donkey or a mule, I mean. And I showed my husband, this is what we're thinking, right? What you talk. Oh my gosh, he laughed so hard. He's like, that is incredible art, honey. We should put that on the cover. And I gave it to my brother, the stick figures, and bless his heart, he did not laugh at me because he's so used to the fact that I have no art skills. And he said, yeah, I think I got what you're looking for here. But it's really cool to work with him because, you know, we have ideas and then we throw it at him and he says, okay, this is from an artist's point of view. This is what I'm seeing for shading. This is what I think. I don't know if that will work. We can try it, but maybe this will work. So it's really a team effort and it's so cool what he comes up with and submits. And then we get to, you know, turn it into covers. So I love it. I love being able to, you know, have that as part of the stories and that it's my brother. It's really cool.
I love that you work with family, your husband, your brother, you, the cats, the kids. I like that it's a family.
I know. We have my
it's
sister.
A family gathering, right? It's a community, your sister-in-law. Like
my sister-in-law is my assistant. My sister is my bookkeeper and she also sells the books. My mom used to do that for me as well. Yeah. And my other sister helps promote and will show up at book signings. And we joke that if someone joins the family, it's like, okay, before you're allowed in, what are your skills? What do you bring to the table that we might be able to use? You know, we joke about that. What skill set do you have? Because we need, you know, we're low in this area. I'm still looking for an IP attorney. Somebody marry an IP attorney, please. I would, you know, to have that in the family, some brain like that, that you can trust would be wonderful.
So do you have any sisters that are available for that?
They're both set in their ways. They're like, we're too old. No. The one went back to school for bookkeeping. And she, like I said, she's my bookkeeper. That's enough. Still waiting. Still have nieces and nephews. Come on. Come on. Right? Let's do this. Maybe one of my kids will marry an attorney. We'll see.
You just never know, right?
Right.
So what's the final message you want to leave everybody with tonight, Anne?
I just hope that, you know, there's a lot of negativity out there right now. There's so much, you watch the news, you read social media, there's so much scary stuff, whether they mean to scare you or not. And it's really unsettling right now in the world and so much conflict. And I just hope that you can find, and if it's not my story, some other books, just find something that you can sink into and let go of some of those fears. Because, you know, life is so short. And if we're constantly living in this state of anxiety, it's so hard on us. And it takes the joy out of life. So if you decide to give my books a try, I hope that I can at least make you laugh or smile a couple times and take your mind off whatever's troubling you.
And how can anybody reach you, Anne?
You have it up on the screen, annecharles.com. There's a connect on there that you can send me an email. But I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. I'm on TikTok, but I'm really bad over there because I'm so old. I mean, come on.
You're like me. I haven't figured it out.
It's so hard.
I got all these followers and I'm like, I'm not doing anything. Like I'm putting a couple little images up and I'm just like, I don't understand it. I'm like,
I know.
My kids got me on those platforms and I'm just like, what is that?
I mean, I'm of the age where when I go through the remote, it's click, click, click. And it drives my kids nuts. Would you go faster? And I'm like, if I go faster, I'm going to get, you know, car sickness because it's moving too fast or motion sickness. So, yeah, I'm on there and I will try to write people if they contact me. But I'm out there and I try to respond as quick as I can. But sometimes life does take, you know, step in and takes me a little bit longer to get back with you. And I do have an online store. You can see the books behind me. We sell a lot through our online store if you're interested in autographed books. So
awesome. Well, I had fun. This was awesome. I always love when we sit together because we just never know what we're going to talk about, right? So for all the viewers and listeners out there, thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Joanne, for all your comments tonight and joining us in the studio as well. For anybody that would like to know more about Tea Time, just go over to Miss Liz's website, www.missliz'steatime.com. There's no S on the Tea Times. And check out Anne. Reach over and check out her cool stuff, puzzles, calendars, merchandise, all that cool stuff, and even some incredible books. And we are going into springtime, so it's a good time to get some books for the summertime, for picnics and all of that good stuff. So thank you again, Anne, for joining me tonight. It was a pleasure. I always love that you bring the little girl out of me and we get to play with some hats and that.
Yes.
And for everyone else, if you'd like to know more, just reach out and connect and let's stay connected and let's make a difference by just being ourselves and being that tea. And, you know, we all get a little tired, we get entertained and her availability is there. So check her, check Anne out. And I'll wish you guys all a good night and a good weekend. But we will be back on Monday with a surprise tea time. And then Thursday, two more tea times. So yes, Miss Liz, we'll be posting who the surprise guest is later tonight. So you'll get to see who's coming and what that's all about. And we might be wearing hats for that one as well. So
come on.
Until then, I will see everybody on Monday with a surprise tea time.